Lieutenant Mack ordered Bergen not to carry out the fire mission. He said we couldn't spare the ammo. Bergen, a three-campaign veteran and a skillful observer, called the company's CP and asked if they could get us the ammo. The CP told him yes. Over the sound-powered phone, Bergen said, "On my command, fire." Mack was with us at the gun pits and ordered us not to fire. He told Bergen the same over the phone. Bergen told him to go to hell and yelled, "Mortar section, fire on my command. Commence firing." We fired as Mack ranted and raved. When we finished firing, the company moved against the ridge. Not a shot was fired at our men. Bergen checked the target area and saw more than 50 freshly killed Japanese soldiers in a narrow ravine, all dead from wounds obviously caused by our mortar fire. The artillery shells had exploded in front of or to the rear of the Japanese, who were protected from them. Our 60-millimeter mortar shells fell right into the ravine, however, because of their steeper trajectory. We had scored a significant success with the teamwork of our mortar section. The event illustrated the value of experience in a veteran like Bergen compared with the poor judgment of a green lieutenant. The short period of rest in May helped us physically and mentally. Such periodic rests off the lines, lasting from a day to several days, enabled us to keep going. The rations were better. We could shave and clean up a bit using our helmets for a basin. Although we had to dig in because of long-range artillery or air raids, two men could make a simple shelter with their ponchos over their hole and be relatively, but not completely, dry on rainy nights. We could relax a little. I'm convinced we would have collapsed from the strain and exertion without such respites, but I found it more difficult to go back each time we squared away our gear to move forward into the zone of terror. My buddy's joking ceased as we trudged, grim-faced, back into that chasm where time had no meaning and one's chances of emerging unhurt dwindled with each encounter. With each step toward the distant rattle and rumble of that hellish region where fear and horror tortured us like a cat tormenting a mouse, I experienced greater and greater dread. And it wasn't just dread of death or pain, because most men felt somehow they wouldn't be killed. But each time we went up, I felt the sickening dread of fear itself, and the revulsion at the ghastly scenes of pain and suffering among comrades that a survivor must witness.